How do you know when an addict recovers? Is it because he's clean and sober, or does it go much deeper than that? You're listening to Addicted on the Charisma News podcast. Joining me today is Spence Fleiderer of Central Care Mission. He's addressing the spiritual and emotional remedies to trauma that trigger the addictions in this fascinating interview. Hear more after the sponsor.
This episode of the Charisma News Addicted podcast is sponsored by Courage for Life Ministries, creator of the first audio Bible recorded entirely with female voices. With a vision for taking the gospel to at-risk women in prison or those addicted or abused, this is a free iPhone and Android app featuring the entire Bible read in the comforting voice of a woman. Download it today at your app store or visit us at courageforlife.org, where you can also download free Bible study resources and devotionals. Find out more about how you can help support this amazing vision by visiting us at courageforlife.org or calling 404-791-7091. You can also email us at contact@courageforlife.org.
Welcome back. You're listening to Addicted, which is a series on the Charisma News podcast. Joining me today is Spence Fleiderer. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Jesslyn. Good to be with you.
I am excited to have you here to talk about your work at Central Care Mission. Can you give us a little bit of rundown what this is?
Sure. So Central Care Mission is a men's residential life skill center.
All right.
And so we take the homeless in. We also take those who are addicted in.
Mm-hmm.
And if you'll notice, if you're addicted long enough, you will become homeless. So kind of where those two intersect.
Okay.
Now, you don't have to be addicted to come in. You can mm-hmm. be homeless and vice versa. There's a third type of person we bring in is that man who is in an episodic crisis.
Okay. What does that mean?
It's an episode where that episode is completely overwhelming them or has fragmented their life to where they cannot cope. Say,
okay.
For instance, I come home, tell my wife, I've lost my job again. And she says, well, we're done.
Okay.
And you're out. And so all of a sudden he finds himself without a job, without a home, and he's on the streets. And that mm-hmm. happens more than you can imagine. So that's an episode.
Okay.
He's not homeless yet or chronically homeless, and he's not addicted. Or maybe he is, but not full blown. So we're men's residential mm-hmm. life skill community center.
So what does this life skill portion involve?
That's good. So 10 years ago when I started, the Central Care Mission was pretty much almost a transition house for the addicted and the homeless. And they would stay a day, 2 days, a week, a month,
mm-hmm.
a couple months, and rarely a year.
It was kind of treated like an overnight shelter.
Yeah,
more than
shelter,
an actual program.
Transition.
Okay.
And it functioned that way for a short period of time. And then I said, wait a minute. All these guys have these deep issues of addiction, most mm-hmm. of them, 99% of them. I said, so let's deal with the addiction aspect of this. And so we delved into the addiction part. And then about 3 years ago, I said, there's quite a bit here that we need to deal with besides the addiction component. Let's start dealing with all the underlying mm-hmm. factors, contributing factors to this.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can get those factors taken care of, their probability of success increases. Mm. So let me tell you specifically what I mean by that.
I'm ready. I have a question as
yes.
a follow-up, and I'm curious if you're going to answer it before I ask.
Yeah, so here's a question that everybody asks when they come to visit or they talk to me. What's your success rate?
Mm-hmm.
And that's always a tricky question, because how do you measure success in the human heart
mm-hmm.
or a human life?
Exactly.
And so here's the six pillars of success. Our first pillar is clean and sober. That's the one that every rehab center uses, whether
that's
it's
what they like to focus
yeah,
on.
Yeah, whether it's 30, 60, 90 days or whatever.
But is that just addressing the symptom and not the root?
Boom, you're right on it. So what we do is we say, no, we're not going to focus on that only. We're going to focus on five more metrics for success.
Okay.
The next one besides clean and sober is just stable job.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the Mission, when you come in, we have a full-time jobs placement coordinator. And we get our guys jobs with staffing agencies
mm-hmm.
and private employers.
Okay.
So we can tell that employer that person's going to be clean and sober,
mm-hmm.
drug tested, on time, and that we're going to match the job with the skill of the person.
Okay.
And so we have nearly 100% employment every day.
Wow.
Yeah. And so that's the second pillar. Third pillar is stable housing.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you never know where you're going to stay, you're always in a situation of anxiety, turmoil, mm-hmm. chaos. So there's two phases to that. One, we're residential.
Mm-hmm.
So you stay there, you live there for a year, minimum.
Mm-hmm.
But then we prepare you, because you have a job, we prepare you with to save your money so that when you leave,
you can have a house.
And here's the key. Yep. The key is you own the right to live where you're at.
Mm-hmm.
You don't go stay with a girlfriend. You don't go stay with some buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you know their character, you know their heart, you know their lifestyle, and then you can enter into maybe an agreement with some guys. But you don't put yourself in a position where you can be asked to leave
mm-hmm.
today.
Yes.
Because that creates fights with women, and women can tend to call the police when there is a fight. And not all women, I don't mean to say that, but...
No, but we're talking about people who have a history of addiction and may have histories of outbursts, so it's understandable the connection between the
Thank
two.
Thank you for rescuing me on that.
I was like, well, I wouldn't normally call the police if I get in a fight with my husband.
Yes,
but
yes.
I understand what you're saying. With this typical type of person
Correct.
Who has been through a treatment, has been through volatile
Correct.
Lifestyles, that they someone may be scared or afraid that they've relapsed or maybe in a position of harm. So instead, you live with someone who knows what you're going through and
Correct.
Would not turn you over to police
Correct.
Immediately.
So, you know, guys, they go to work or whatever, maybe even church or different places or even online, big time online.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I love her and I'm leaving the program. I know I only been here 2 months and I know I've been an addict for 15 years,
Oy.
But 2 months, yeah. And they go and so what we just tell them is own the legal document for you to stay where you live.
Yes.
Whether that's shared or do it with someone who's responsible.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next pillar would be stable transportation.
Okay.
So if you stay a year, 86% of our guys come out of there owning their own car.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we help them do that. We help them save to that. We help them do the research for insurance.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them have driver's license issues from court costs
okay.
and unpaid fines and fees and unresolved issues with their driver's license. And we help them face that
mm-hmm.
head on because they just – it's not real, la, 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 la. I'd rather not have my license for the next 10 years than make some phone calls to the DMV and find out what I need to do to straighten this out.
Oh, man.
And they're terrified of it.
Yes.
They're just overwhelmed by it. And, you know, we've had guys pay $8,000, $9,000
wow.
of court costs, fines, fees, and legal issues, and they get their license back.
Wow.
We've had guys not call for 15 years thinking they didn't have a license. They call and say, sir.
Your license just expired.
It was expired back then, but there's no real issue that's preventing that. You just haven't renewed it.
Oh, wow.
For 15 years. And they're like, here I didn't drive because I was so terrified. So we help them overcome.
And teaching the basic skills of like asking questions
Correct.
And learning. Yes.
Facing their anxiety. So this, you know, these life
okay,
skills
I'm
and practicalities.
Following. Yes.
So then the next pillar of success, as you know, if you're addicted to drugs and alcohol long enough, there's this wake of destruction that
yes.
follows you. And they're mostly with the people that love you the most,
mm-hmm.
that you love the most, but you have destroyed those relationships, hurt people very deeply.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we do is say, first thing you have to do is not write a letter of forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
You might think that's what you should write. But what we do is we help them identify the people who've really wounded them in their life.
Mm.
And they can be the same people that they've hurt as well.
Okay.
But the first thing you have to do, because this brings gravity to what you're about to ask someone to do,
mm-hmm.
is you must write letters of forgiveness to the people who wounded you.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? I have to do that? Well, you're about ready to ask them to forgive you.
And you're also acknowledging the pain that caused you to go beyond destruction.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And so we say, restore relationships with those who will restore relationships with you.
Okay.
Number one of restoring relationships. Then form new relationships with healthy people. So last night we had we have a 55 men capacity. Am I speaking okay here?
I think you're good. Yeah, okay. I'm just verifying.
Okay.
Yes, she verified.
We good? Okay.
Yes.
So we have a 55 bed capacity.
Okay.
And last night we had 35 mentors. And so what?
Are mentors people who have already graduated through the program?
Or? Yes and no.
Okay.
Both and. So we had, I think, 7 to 9 graduates, and the rest of them were business leaders.
Okay.
In, you know, major construction people, lawyers, doctors, just people that I've gathered around me. They come and we eat together, have a church service together, sing. Everybody phases up, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. And then we have graduations, and then we get together and have man time, and everybody everybody tells big stories, and you know about the fish that they caught. It grows every time you tell the story. It's man time where we all get together and agree
to
lie.
It started out as 3 inches, now it's somehow 5 feet.
Yeah, we get to agree to lie to each other as we tell our stories. So anyhow. So restoring relationships. Then the last one is giving back.
Okay.
So here's how we give back. As you go through the program, you enter into leadership. Obviously, the longer you're there, the more stable you get, and you start to see these things playing out. And the younger guys, and by younger, I mean younger in
the program. Not necessarily age-wise.
Correct. And so they, you know, they start, the older guys start to give back to the new guys. And then on Sunday morning, every Sunday morning, every Sunday of the year at 4:30, everybody gets up. We go downtown.
4:30 a.m.
That
is not a time I am comfortable with.
Correct.
I love Jesus.
Love Jesus. He was an early riser. And
he was.
And people, you know, there's just grades of heaven and stuff and even hell if you read Purgatorio and all that. But anyhow, early risers get closer to the throne.
I see what you did there. You did that on purpose.
I did that to you.
I know.
So anyhow, we go down to First Pres.
Okay.
First Presbyterian Church of Orlando. I'm on staff down there. And our guys who were once homeless are now down serving the homeless. And so we open the doors at 6:30. We've been cooking. We open the doors at 6:30, have a worship service. They have to endure my sermon. And then after that, we feed them a full, like what I call is a Denny's Homeless Grand Slam.
Okay.
It's oatmeal, it's eggs, it's sausage, it's pancakes, all the coffee.
Amen.
And we serve them. And so that's where we give back. And it's just a great thing because two days ago, someone could have been at the breakfast. On Monday, they could come into our program. And this coming Sunday, they can be serving the very people they were homeless with the week
last
before.
Last week. That's incredible.
It's powerful.
Yes.
Both, on both directions. And so.
Well, I think seeing someone who, say, I am homeless and addicted, and on Sunday morning, I'm eating breakfast with my friend, and then the next week, my friend is serving me, it gives me hope as well.
That's correct. And it gives a reminder to the guy who left it, oh, I don't want to be back out there again. So let's look at these six pillars. If all I focus on in the program or any program is being clean and sober and I don't take care of these other issues, then my chances of staying clean and sober drop dramatically. However, if simultaneously I focus on housing, jobs, transportation, restoring relationships, and coming unglued for myself and giving back to other people, the probability of success dramatically increases.
Now, talk to me a little bit about the role that faith plays in this process.
Good, good, good question. So that leads, well, you just punted right into.
I do that.
Yes. So the question then is, well, how do these pillars take place? How do you get to that place over a period of a year? So we teach life skills. We have six pillars and we have five life skills. Why we don't have six life skills, I don't know. We
just, 'cause you don't want to make things parallel.
That's
I don't
right.
understand.
Yep. And so here are life skills. First is spiritual life skill. Start with, you know, first things first. And so what we like to do is really create measurements where you can really measure how you're doing. And so that includes, obviously, in every church, if you want to get closer to Jesus, you got to pray and read your Bible. But there's other really good disciplines like journaling. How about like confession? which we don't do as Christians too well. We confess to Jesus so we don't have to tell each other.
Mm. Except how are we supposed to hold each other accountable?
Bingo. And so that's where that comes into play. Then we do solitude and silence quite a bit.
Mm. I don't know if I'd do well with that part.
Yes. Yeah. It's quite a discipline, and it's very transformative.
Mm-hmm.
And we can talk about that a little more if you want. And obviously, we have people from all faiths come in, and we tell people, hey, just so you know, we love Jesus, and we believe Jesus is the answer
mm-hmm.
to all your problems. And we're not going to shove it down your throat, but you're not going to come in and bring your worldview mm-hmm. and shove it down our throat. Now, if you at some point decide you want to receive Christ, you let us know.
Mm-hmm.
And so that happens frequently. So there's the life.
When you begin to see the power, the transformative power of Christ, it's hard to resist that.
Yeah, and you look at people who've been there, and they're telling you this is what happened,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And so so you had the spiritual life skill.
Mm-hmm.
And then we say that the spiritual life skill informs the content of all the other life skills that I'm going to lay out.
Okay.
Next life skill is the physical life skill.
Mm-hmm.
Your body. You know, we all know the body image that mm-hmm. everybody has body image stuff that they have to deal with. And we just say, look, God created you.
Mm-hmm.
He loves you. He made you who you are. And he is just absolutely delighted to know you today.
Amen.
And so we deal with the creation part
mm-hmm.
as well as the redemption part.
Excellent.
And so practically, that means physical exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
amazing how clear your mind gets when you focus on spirit and physical exercise, so you can focus on the other skills.
Nice. So let's just talk very practically from a scientific point of view of
mm-hmm.
how that works. So if I am addicted, cocaine, heroin, morphine, oxycodone, all these things, and Oxycontin, INE,
mm-hmm.
INE. So your brain, so if I'm wanting and I'm addicted to this, and my body is physically craving this,
mm-hmm.
what better thing could I do than to exercise for 35 minutes with my heart rate above 65%,
mm-hmm.
and it floods my brain,
mm-hmm.
it blasts my brain with endorphins.
That's true.
And here's what endorphin means in its root word: endogenous morphine.
Oh.
Morphine created in your body.
Intriguing. I did not know that.
Endorphins is simply natural morphine
mm-hmm.
created in your body due to exercising.
Yes.
And there's even how God created us is, well, why don't we get addicted to that morphine? Because God put it, and I won't get into all that, but it's really cool how God created our brain to secrete and
this
produce
chemical that people are obsessed with.
That's right. That kills people and we get addicted. But if it's produced the right way, the God-given way, we don't become addicted
mm-hmm.
to it. Interesting.
Yes, my husband and I, whenever we exercise, we like to quote Legally Blonde, which is exercise gives you endorphins. Endorphins make you happy, and happy people don't shoot their husbands.
That's funny.
They just don't.
That's good. I'll bet he likes you quoting that. It gives him security for the day.
Well, it's just one of those things that when it comes to exercise, if we're in a fight or we're not happy with our jobs, like he works at Walmart, and so people of Walmart can sometimes be a little frustrating.
Correct.
When we exercise, we find that we are more open to dealing with each other, to taking the next step, to figuring out what we should do. And I can only imagine for an addict how powerful that natural chemical can be when you are able to really sit down and clear out your brain.
Reduces anxiety,
mm-hmm.
reduces stress, reduces depression.
Yes.
And as you said, gives you a blast and makes you happy and joyful.
Mm-hmm.
So let's keep talking about...
we were on physical health.
We're on physical health, the life skill, physical health. So exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have a 7,000 square foot garden.
Oh.
And so we eat a lot of veggies. And although that's sometimes a little difficult because our chef likes potatoes and corn and all the starches. And we say, veggies. We want veggies.
You can have both, a healthy balance of both.
Yes, yes. We tell ourselves that.
No keto diet there.
That's right. So... then the third thing about the physical life skill, and this is so important, is maybe you do need medication
mm-hmm.
for depression or for anxiety
mm-hmm.
for the short period of time until you can get yourself stabilized. And it's really wild. I have people who are shooting heroin or snorting cocaine last week that's set in front of me when I say you need to see a psychiatrist and a doctor and go down to the health care center for the homeless, mm-hmm. and you need to get on meds. And they're like, oh, I don't do meds.
And you're like, but last week you literally were, okay.
Right. And we just, I draw the line in the sand. I say, look, mm-hmm. if you can't do this, you can't be here.
Mm-hmm.
So let's take the shame out of medication. Mm-hmm. Proper medication.
Yes.
So I
firmly believe that once you treat your physical body with exercise, with healthy foods, with making sure you're getting enough vitamin D in the sunshine.
That's right.
That the Lord has given us doctors who have given us medication that can help that chemical imbalance in
Correct.
Your brain.
Correct.
Absolutely.
So, boom, you know, spiritual, physical, then let's talk emotional life skill.
Okay.
The emotional life skill, we break it down because I can't have 9 or 10 life skills. The emotional life skill we break down into emotional quotient, emotional intelligence,
mm-hmm.
social awareness, and mental health.
Mm-hmm.
So social awareness is, you and I take this stuff for granted, and most people that are our friends and family take social awareness for granted. But if you have been compensating your social and even internal anxiety with drugs so that the only time you really feel comfortable being out in public or with a bunch of people or having fun is if you're high,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden when you're not, it's very, very uncomfortable to walk into a church,
mm-hmm.
even being with a group of new people and get to know them. So what we do is we just simply talk about how do you walk into a room and feel comfortable?
Mm-hmm.
How do you talk to someone and feel comfortable? Things that you and I take for granted mm-hmm. that they never knew or they forgot.
Mm-hmm.
So then there's mental health, and I reduce mental health and down to this. Mental health is simply taking reality on reality's terms.
Okay.
So many of us, if you get down to it, we want the world to work the way we want it to work, and when it doesn't, we're really mad about it.
Yep.
And
I can identify with that.
Yes. And so what we then try to do to cope and compensate is we really do some, we don't tell ourselves the truth. We don't look at reality. We try to manipulate or deceive mm-hmm. or change things. And then when we hit that brick wall at the end, we just can't really understand why jumping off a roof is gravity has an issue
mm-hmm.
and we fall to the ground and hit really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you prevent that from happening?
Mm-hmm.
So if you do drugs daily, you're going to mess your life up. If you don't deal with your anger, you're not going to have friends. You're never going to have a wife or a girlfriend that sticks with you, and your children aren't going to want to be with you.
Mm.
And so we kind of try to deal with mental health in this real concrete way. Now we get into how do you create a good worldview, all those type of things.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get into the emotional quotient part of this thing.
Okay, that sounds very scientific.
So it's only simply, here it is, and I'm sure you know what this is, but historically, I was raised, maybe not you, you're quite a bit younger than me, God bless you. I was raised where the key indicator that determines my success in life is intelligence, my IQ. Science has proven that that's not necessarily true. That the smartest person in the room or the smartest people in the room aren't necessarily the most successful.
Mm-hmm.
And so they did all kinds of studies about this and said, hey, what you really need to succeed in society is an emotional ability to govern your own emotions and understand the emotions of other people with empathy, compassion, and respect.
Mm.
And so if I am emotionally stunted,
mm-hmm.
then I have to become, be honest, and I have to go back to that time of stunting.
Mm-hmm.
Now here we're going to get into some real issues, and this is what you guys mm-hmm. are about. What stunts our emotions? Mostly trauma, mm-hmm. pain, abuse, abandonment, rejection,
mm-hmm.
all these things that happen to us at some point in our childhood
mm-hmm.
That we stop developing or having a mm-hmm. safe place to develop.
Yes.
And then we find ourselves as adults not understanding our own emotions, really hurt and resentful
mm-hmm.
that other people don't understand us.
Mm-hmm.
when in fact we've simply never grown up.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we do is we come back and we start with those things of how does a man grow up? And mm-hmm. I just taught a class the other night, says that it's a whole class on I Ain't Your Mama.
Mm.
And how men who are emotionally stunted are constantly looking for a wife, a girlfriend, or an institution to take care of them.
Okay. You know, I can see that.
Yes. And so to grow up,
mm-hmm.
you got to learn to take care of yourself. Put your own big boy pants on.
That's true.
And learn how to do your own bills.
Yep. Learn how to do your own laundry, cook for yourself.
Learn all that stuff.
Yep.
And stop making, you know, your significant other or the institution you're in make all the phone calls, make the doctor's appointments, grow up and do your own life.
Mm-hmm.
And the people around you really appreciate it.
Now, talk to me a little bit about the role biblical masculinity plays in that concept right there.
Oh, nice, nice. That's a great question. So I am
a journalist.
Yeah. So what we, once again, I'm big on creation first,
mm-hmm.
then redemption.
Amen.
And so what I always say is God's returning you. Redemption, this is great. Redemption is God returning you to his originally intended mm-hmm. purpose. And what is his originally intended purpose for you? You have to go back and just simply look at Adam and Eve
mm-hmm.
and who they were and what they were and how God designed them and the relationship that God had with them.
Mm-hmm.
And that is his intention. Now, redemption is Christ comes and takes care of all that mess.
Mm-hmm.
We messed it up big time.
We did.
And so he takes care of it psychologically. He takes care of it socially. He takes care of it from a sin issue. He, mm-hmm. His death on the cross took care of everything we messed up.
Amen.
And now that the junk is out of the way,
mm-hmm.
let's get in touch with what it means to be the man God created you to be so that, and here's what I tell him, you be the man that will attract the kind of woman you want.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, you be that man. Don't expect some successful, sharp, funny, witty girl to like you if you have a bad attitude, you're a whiner, you're a baby, and you're immature and you never grew up.
I feel like this goes beyond addicts.
Yeah, oh, it does.
Absolutely.
It does. It goes right into our culture.
Mm-hmm.
And we could get into gender side and... Mm-hmm. And the emasculinity of the male in our society and stuff like that. So, but you probably get all kinds of phone calls from your podcast saying, what's that guy's name? I'm going to hunt him down and kill him. But,
I don't know. I'm really enjoying this because yeah. I think something that so many people miss about addiction is such how wide and encompassing the subject is, and so many roots go into it.
Yes.
Like you mentioned the trauma, you mentioned the lack of biblical masculinity, you mentioned the emotional stunted growth.
Yeah.
And all of this plays a role in people you would never expect to be addicts to become obsessed with feeling a certain way.
Correct, correct. So I don't know if I answered your question about biblical masculinity, but that's kind of where we mm-hmm. head is just, and our life skills challenge them to become the man of God that you were created to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't hold back.
Mm-hmm.
What I tell my guys is, you're not here to get off drugs and alcohol. That's not your issue.
Mm-hmm.
These other things are your issues.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take care of those. Drugs and alcohol aren't even going to be an issue because you're not even going to be thinking about them. You're not going to be worried about them. You're going to be having habits and mm-hmm. disciplines and lifestyles of complete change and transformation.
Mm-hmm. It's so true. Like to compare to, I think losing weight, changing your diet isn't what fixes you. It's about understanding your mindset.
Boom.
And so it's a very similar concept. Now we are almost out of time for today.
What?
Which makes me sad. Yes, it's been almost 30 minutes at this point.
That's crazy.
But for people who are interested in your program or want to know more, where can they find you?
So they can find us on the internet, centralcaremission.com.
Mm-hmm.
They can call 407-299-6146. And don't get discouraged. Someone will return your call. Please leave a message.
It's true. I called you and left a message and you called me back.
Yep. And then Last were at 4027 Lenox Boulevard, L-E-N-O-X Boulevard, Orlando, Florida, 32811.
And if someone just showed up, you say, all right.
If you want to show up for an interview to get into our program, Monday through Thursday, 12 to 4.
Mm. Thank you for sharing that information. I just feel like the Lord is going to use this to reach out to someone who needs it. And even if it's just a family member of an addict who's like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I feel like this is all my fault. The Lord can redeem that situation, like you were saying.
That's correct.
Spence, thank you so much for stopping by today. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. Listeners, for more information and interviews like this, be sure to check out cpnshows.com. And don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes so we can continue to share the gospel.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.